Hello and welcome to FUMS Fitness Tips, a podcast where we discuss all things fitness, including the benefits and challenges one might face on a fitness journey and how to overcome them. My name is Fumi Johnson and I am your host. It's Podcast Thursday! I'm so excited and grateful to have you here with me. It inspires and motivates me to keep providing and producing useful fitness content. So thank you! Wow, this is episode 10. I have 10 actual podcast episodes. This is literally 10 weeks of commitments and showing up with fitness tips weekly. Incredible! It's also the last episode of the very first season of FUMS Fitness Tips podcast. I will be taking a creative break, giving myself some time to relax, regroup, and reset, but I'll be back again for some more fitness tips soon. So let's get to it. On this week's episode, we will be discussing calorie deficit. Dum, dum, dum. We briefly discussed it last week, but I felt like calorie deficit needed an episode of its own. Stay with me. Don't you dare switch up the podcast. Your goal may not be to be in the calorie deficit, but the tips I share today are transferable and can be applied to your fitness goals. So stick with me and don't leave. A quick recap on last week, I explained that calories are basically the currency or value of every food or drink item we consume, and that depending on your fitness goals, you will be consuming calories in maintenance, in a surplus, or in a deficit. A calorie deficit is the only way to lose weight. You cannot lose weight except you're in a calorie deficit. I had to say that again to let it sink in a little. People sometimes don't like the idea of a calorie deficit because it sounds a little bit complicated and rigid, and sometimes due to a lack of understanding, it deters people. The fact is, whether you intentionally try to lose weight by being aware of your calorie deficit target and tracking your calories, or unintentionally, the only reason anybody loses weight is because they're in a calorie deficit. Today, I will unpack the calorie deficit concept by discussing what it is, how to determine your calorie deficit target, and how to stay in a deficit if that is your fitness goal. Why do I need to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight, you ask? Well, if you're overweight, you have most certainly been consuming more calories than you're burning, and in essence, you're actually a calorie surplus. A surplus by definition means abundance, so in order to lose weight, we have to rein it in a little. A calorie deficit is a simple maths equation. The number of calories burned minus the number of calories consumed equals a deficit. Like I said last week with my analogy, a calorie deficit is in essence putting yourself on a caloric intake budget because you have overspent by consuming too many calories, and the goal of that budget is to achieve weight loss. Fums, maths is not my strong point. It still sounds a little complicated. Can you explain it another way? Right, okay, let's try this. To be in a calorie deficit, you have to move more by being active and eat a little less than you're currently been eating. Simple. Okay, so we understand what a calorie deficit is now, but how do we know how many calories we need to consume to create a calorie deficit? A healthy calorie deficit is calculated by taking into account your gender, your age, your height, your weight, and your daily activity level. For example, are you stationary for most of the day? How many steps do you get in, or how many exercises do you do in a week? It's not an exact science, but it's a guide and target for you to work towards your goal of being in a calorie deficit. I mentioned on last week's episode that there is a free online macro calorie calculator provided by the James Smith Academy. Simply Google James Smith Academy calorie calculator and select lose fat and input your details, and it should generate the calorie deficit specific to you based on the information you've put in. Great, so you've got the calorie deficit number of calories you should be consuming, for example, 1,700 calories in a day. So what do you do with that number? You aim to consume food within that target daily, and you do this by keeping track of what you're eating. Oh, tracking. Tracking is such a polarizing concept for people in the fitness industry. Some people disagree with it because to them it sounds a little rigid and can potentially become addictive if you have an obsessive personality and a history of unhealthy relationship with food. If you're this person, then maybe this method is not for you. I personally have no problems with tracking your calories, and I am discussing it as a method to maintain your calorie deficit because it's what I did and it successfully works for me. I am also a firm believer that changing your mindset, that is how you think and view things, is the first step in changing your attitude towards it. Let's put that into practice with the term tracking your calories. Let us view the word tracking calories as keeping a food diary so that we have a better awareness of what we're eating to help us successfully stay in a calorie deficit. Sounds better already, doesn't it? Right, so we've agreed to keep a food diary. Well, where do you find one? There's an online food diary called MyFitnessPal. It's an app available on iOS devices and Androids. It's a great tool to help you visibly develop awareness of the calories contained in the food you eat. When you download it, enter your details as requested by the app and override the calorie target set by MyFitnessPal by replacing it with the calorie number given to you by the James Smith Academy calorie calculator. Please, please, please do not follow the target set by MyFitnessPal. The calorie goal is often too low because its method of determining a calorie deficit is not robust enough and tends to focus on how much weight a person wants to lose weekly or monthly. It also has a reward system by adding extra calories to your target daily if you exercise or do any sort of physical activity. Your physical activity is already taken into account using the JSA calories, so you do not need to eat back the calories you have supposedly burned from exercising. Please be aware of this when using this app as a food diary. Once you're all set up, you can then start entering your meals, your drinks, and your snacks into MyFitnessPal food diary. This is where the work begins. I subscribe to a non-restrictive diet approach to weight loss, which means I believe no food is off limits, except there are medical reasons why you shouldn't eat certain foods. However, some foods are more nutritionally dense than others and keep you satisfied longer. For example, ice cream is not off limits, but to eat ice cream multiple times a day and every day is probably not wise if you want to be in a calorie deficit and long-term can actually cause you health problems like diabetes. Making smart food choices is the key to staying in a calorie deficit. You can do this by planning your meals. I find that when we're hungry, we're more likely to overeat and reach out for food that are not as nutritious. So having some sort of plan helps prevent that. Another tip is to eat the recommended serving size. Every food item generally has a recommended serving size. Take a bag of mixed nuts, for example. The recommended serving size on most packets is 25 grams, which is usually about a handful. Now, your hand might be bigger than my hand, so recording an estimated guess of what you've eaten on MyFitnessPal might mean that you're either over or underestimating. I suggest that initially, maybe for the first few weeks of being in a calorie deficit, you should measure some of the food items on a food scale to give you a better understanding of quantities and help you to stay within your calorie deficit goal. Measuring foods sounds like hard work. Yes, it's hard work in the short term, but it's to help provide you with a better understanding so that in the future you won't need it. Being in a calorie deficit is tough at first and will be a complete shock to the system because you're teaching your body to have a little restraint and not overeat. It's tough, but you're tougher. I have every faith in you that you can do it. I often say take it one day at a time, but let's take it one step further and say take it one meal at a time. Go on a meal-by-meal basis. Do not restrict yourself. Create room for snacks in your meal plans and occasionally some of your favorite little treats. Woo! Today's topic is such a biggie, isn't it? Now you see why I had to create an episode to focus solely on calorie deficit. I hope that you find all the tips useful and are able to successfully be in a calorie deficit to achieve your weight loss goals. There's probably a lot more to cover on it, so if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. I am happy to help. It's always great hearing feedback on how you found the podcast episode. You can do this by leaving me a voice message on the podcast. A link to do this is in the podcast description box wherever you listen to FUMS Fitness Tips. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, you can actually leave a review. You could also comment on my Instagram fitness page at FUMS Fitness and tag me in your story. That really helps get people to see and learn more about the podcast. Thank you in advance for doing this. Right, it's time for the super fun, entertaining and active part of the show. You know what's coming, exercise of the week. In this segment, I choose an exercise, briefly discuss it, and suggest that you do it at least once before our next episode. The exercise of the week for this week's episode is, drumroll, downward facing dog or downward dog. We are ending season one of the Films Fitness Tips podcast with a good old yoga exercise, downward facing dog or downward dog. Funny story, I used to hate this yoga pose because I found it a little bit challenging, but I've grown to love it because it's actually a great stretch for your shoulders, hamstrings, calves, arches, and hands. Other benefits includes it improves circulation and digestion, it tones the hands and feet, and my favorite benefit of all is that it reduces anxiety. See why it's such a great pose? Here are your instructions. Start in a kneeling position on all fours with your hands directly under your shoulders and your fingers spread wide. Tuck your toes under and engage your core as you push your body up off the floor so that only your hands and feet are on the floor. Press through your hands, moving your chest gently towards your thighs and your heels gently towards the floor. Relax your head and neck and breathe fully. Voila! You've just done a downward dog pose. Do not worry if your heels of your feet aren't completely flat on the floor straight away. It takes practice. Downward dog is such a good hamstring and calf stretch. To stretch your calves even more, remaining in a downward dog position, paddle out your feet by lifting left heel off the floor with your toes remaining on the floor and return the heel back to the floor, doing the same with your right foot. You're essentially doing a static walk in the downward dog, and you should feel this more in your calves at the back of your leg. Remember to breathe in and out through this pose, because if you're not breathing, you're just tense and you're not stretching. What a nice relaxing way to end the episode and season one of Fums Fitness Tips. Peace, love, and all that good stuff. Namaste, everyone. I want to thank you all for taking a moment out of your day to download and listen to my podcast. It is hugely appreciated. Please subscribe to my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Leave a comment, share this with your friends and families via word of mouth on your social media platforms. Tell everybody about Fums Fitness Tips. You can also find me on my website, www.fumsfitness.com, and on my Instagram fitness page, @fumsfitness. See you next Thursday for another episode of Fums Fitness Tips podcast. Bye!